This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed 94. WIP, check it out there. Don't forget YouTube live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day, midday show. You can also listen to the morning show, watch the morning show, afternoon show. We're live 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on YouTube, Odyssey app, 94 WIP on your radio, however you consume WIP. And of course, the WIP Daily Podcast is awesome. Appreciate that. All right, so Phillies win last night again, which is great. Four-game winning streak, which they backed up after all the losing streak. Now they're back on a winning streak. It's been a season of ups and downs so far. Good streaks, bad streaks for the Phillies, but they're in a good one right now. And we find out Rangers will be back on Sunday. So good stuff by the Phillies. Kind of a ho-hum, easy win. They needed one of those last night. But I've been thinking about this since the end of the draft. You know, when the draft ends and free agency, obviously, you know, the biggest wave of it is over. You may get a straight trade or two or three before the start of the season. Ramsey and maybe a couple other guys will move. J.R. Alexander and maybe a tight end in Las Vegas. But for the most part, big stuff is done. And, you know, there's probably going to be a next wave of free agency with the draft compensation and the compensatory picks formula is passed now. I get that. But again, for the most part, teams are built now. So I think we're at a point where we could fairly assess the league as it is right now. And you could tweak it a little bit if things happen. But I wanted to dive in right now to my NFC power rankings post-draft. So how I view the NFC right now in the spectrum of the Eagles versus everybody else, the Eagles coming off a Super Bowl defending champions, how I view the league right now, 1 through 16, and where the Eagles come down. So let's start it off. I'm going to go 1 through 16. I don't want to bore everyone with the bottom and go, you know, because power rankings, I started 1. That's the way I do power rankings. And then, you know, I kind of work my way down from there. But you could probably guess a few of the teams towards the bottom. I do think just generally looking at this, the NFC continues to improve. I think teams like the Cardinals got better. The Bears got better. Kind of the underbelly of the NFC. The Cowboys should be a better roster than they were last season. Dak Prescott back. They shouldn't be as bad as they were. Now, I think they downgraded a coach. We'll get to that. But most, I would say, of the NFC teams improved. I'm looking at 1, you know, 2, maybe 3 teams in the NFC, I think, are appreciably worse than they were a year ago roster-wise. Now they're going to play each other. Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. Doesn't mean everyone's going to have a better record, but just that's just my general thought as I go on this. All right, let's start us off. NFC power rankings, number 1, still the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the gap between the Eagles and everybody else compared to the way it was last season is less. It just is. They lost a lot of talent, and they replaced it with either bargain bin kind of Josh Uche players or rookies. And I don't believe the rookies will have as big of an impact as they did last year. Campbell, we'll see when he's physically ready. Quinyon played from day one. And when it comes to Makuba, I just don't think he's as good of a player or as impactful as a player day one as Cooper DeJean. So that just, that's, I think last year was a rare, rare instance. Now, I think Ty Robinson could have a big impact as a rookie, as in the fourth round, the defensive tackle. So maybe you get more out of the middle and back end of the draft than did a year ago. But I view the team as not quite as good as they were last year. Now, doesn't mean they could still be the best team in the NFC. Clearly, I saw them number one on my power rankings. What a lot coming back on the offensive side. Carter, Bond, DeJean, Quinyon on the defensive side. Number one, but the gap has changed. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two is the Detroit Lions. And if it wasn't for the coordinator losses, I probably would have them number one over the Eagles. I thought last year they were the best team until their defense was decimated. Well, now they've improved a corner with DJ Reed. They'll get Aiden Hutchinson back. They get another strong defensive tackle in the draft. I think they are still right there as an outstanding football team. And I'm very curious if the NFL is going to put them on the opening Thursday game here in Philadelphia. Now, what can't be quantified, and we don't know till we see it, is how much the loss of the coordinators really, really hurts them. I think they could survive the Aaron Glenn loss because they're going to get talent back on defense. It's the Ben Johnson loss that is the question. And, you know, I'm of two minds. One, he's a big, big person to lose, and it's going to probably hurt them in the aggregate. But I also thought last year, we're just going off of last year, I thought he got cute at times. I almost was trying to show how smart he was and trying to become a head coach. And I think simple is best sometimes. They have a great offensive line. They have an accurate quarterback. They have two big-time receivers, drafted another receiver this year. They have a tremendous tight end. They have two really good backs. I mean, you don't have to overthink it. Just use the talent. Use the players. The scheme is the scheme. So I put the Lions at two. Talent-wise, I think the gap between them and the Eagles is very close. The coaching, though, advantage with Vic back and with the stability here, the Eagles get the advantage, one over the Lions, who are two. Number three, the Commanders. Commanders got better this offseason. Commanders are a better football team now. They've improved their offensive line significantly in front of Jaden Daniels, which will help keep him healthier than he was at times a year ago. They got better with Debo coming in. Not that I think he's a Debo of a few years ago, but I think he'll be motivated in his second stop in the NFL. Now, they're a little thin at edge rusher. I think they're a spot, I was mentioning potential trades between now and the start of the season. I'd watch them for Trey Hendrickson. I think they're a Trey Hendrickson move away from being able to really walk into the season saying, we're right there with the Eagles and the Lions. I think that's how good the Commanders could be. They're probably a Hendrickson away from being able to win this conference. But Daniels, if he's as special as he looked last year, there's probably another leap coming. And just the impact of that position could change the NFC. Commanders are three. Rams are at four. The Rams are at four for me. I think they're doing a really good job of simultaneously planning for the future. The next quarterback after Stafford with their two first-round picks they have in next year's draft, only patching up the Stafford contract for a year instead of like 5 years. But they've got a lot of really good football players. They have added a tight end this offseason. That defensive line is a dominant force. I think they're a corner away on defense from being the clear favorite in their division without question. And I wonder if a return of Jalen Ramsey could be how that works. But they're dangerous. They're good. They gave the Eagles their toughest matchup of the postseason last year. It will not surprise me at all if they get to 11 or 12 wins and they fight for home field. That's how good the Rams could be. They're at number four. And I want to just quickly give a line of demarcation. So I think there's a pretty big gap. You know, I don't think there's a big gap between number five and 12 or 13, or number five and let's just say number five and 10 on my list in the NFC. I don't think there's a big gap. But there's a pretty big gap between 1, 2, 3, 4 and everybody else. I think it's pretty clear the Eagles, the Lions, the Commanders, and the Rams are the four best teams right now in the NFC. They were all there in the NFC divisional round last year. I don't think anyone has entered that fray this offseason. They're the top four. Number five is the Bucs. I never really truly respect the Bucs post-Brady, but they're always good. They draft well. Jason Light is a really good general manager. Bowles gets a lot out of that team. They fell apart defensively at the end of last year. But Bucky Irvin could be a breakout superstar at running back. Baker has really changed the narrative on his career and had another good season last year at quarterback. They've got a ton of weapons at wide receiver between Evans, who doesn't age, Godwin, McMillan. They draft the kid at Ohio State in the first round. They got four receivers. They got multiple backs. They got a tight end. They're going to be a good team. And then defensively, you know, they had a lot of young players they added the last couple of years. They signed Haason Reddick to come in and help out on the pass rush. Tampa could be good. Tampa could run away with that division if the other teams can't get their act together. At worst, they're going to compete for the division. They're number five for me. Number six, the Packers. I don't know what to do with the Packers because there's like the macro and the micro. Like at times you feel like the whole thing could topple over and they're kind of soft and mentally soft. They're not built to win a championship. But then you realize how young they have been the last couple of years. And maybe we're just putting too much on them not being ready. And perhaps they're going to take another leap forward with Jordan Love healthier this year. LaFleur is a smart coach. They draft well. They add Golden in the first round, who I think could be a big-time receiver. I have my eye on the Packers. I think they're a go-either-way team. They added an offensive lineman to a lot of money in the offseason. I think there's a chance that the Green Bay Packers have a go-backward season and finish like 9-8, 8-9, depending on injuries and how things shake out. I also think we might be underrating them, and they could really belong in this top four group, top five group in the NFC. I have them at six right now. It's a little bit of a hedge on the Packers. I think they're one of the teams I'm most curious to see what the mentality is off the way that last season ended. Number seven is the Chicago Bears. I thought last year's hype on the Bears was ridiculous, but now it's warranted. They added a lot this offseason. If Caleb Williams can play a lick and Ben Johnson could coach a lick, they're a playoff contender. Now, if he could coach a lot, if Williams takes a big leap, there are more than that. And they'll push for the NFC North. They'll compete in that division. And they'll certainly be a playoff, you know, real playoff team if those things are true. A lot of talent there. I love what they did with Loveland. I love what they do with Burden to add to DJ Moore. They've got a revamped offensive line. Now, it might take a little few weeks to figure it out during the season. A lot of new. But when it does, it could click. The Bears at number seven. The Vikings at eight. This is a roster coach ranking. And they're right in the middle because if J.J. McCarthy is ready to roll, there's no reason they can't be a top. They can't be right there as four or five in the NFC, maybe even three, and compete again in the NFC North. This is really going to be a year to find out what that program is. Now, McCarthy, I like McCarthy. I liked him at Michigan. And I think it's a good marriage between McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell. Now, will it all coalesce in year one? I'm going to guess not and think they're more of a nine-win team with a lot of talent. And then next year's the year that it all explodes. But sometimes you're early on this stuff or the year late. I have the Vikings at number eight. Cardinals at nine. I really like the Cardinals. I think if the Rams have some injuries or the Rams depth issues show or the Rams don't get a corner or Stafford gets banged up, it would not surprise me at all if the Cardinals steal this division. I'm probably going to pick the Cardinals to make the playoffs. I love what they did. They had so many close games last year. McBride is a huge weapon at tight end. I think Kyler, another year off the surgery, will be better. I like the direction the Cardinals are going. I think Gannon is sharp. The GM is good. Love the draft they had with Nolan and Will Johnson and the edge out of Oregon. They're coming. Cardinals at nine. 49ers are at 10. Would it shock me if they're the Rams of a few years ago where they start off really slow and then rally and then by next year we're like, oh, they're back? No, but it feels like a transition phase for the 49ers. They're going to pay Purdy. The roster's younger. I wouldn't want to play them in December, but right now they just don't look to be in the higher echelon of the NFC. Now, I respect the heck out of Shanahan, so he might overachieve with this group. They're at 10. Cowboys at 11. The roster will be better. The offensive line will be better. Dak's going to be back. I think they had a great draft, which I pains me to say, but I think they did. Booker looks like a mauler, even though it's probably bad value at number 12. I love Desiraku. I love Siobhan Rebel. They got a running back I like. They're going to be better. They're going to be probably closer to a 7 or 8 win team.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then a 5 or 6 on paper. Schottenheimer, though, is the least inspiring NFL head coach hire, probably since Jim Tom Sula. I mean, it's a joke what they did with that coaching hire. They're at 11. Seahawks at 12. It's a weird mix where I could see the vision and see the future. The now, though, I'm not buying the Darnold thing away from O'Connell. The Cup signing was kind of bizarre. I love Jackson Smith and Jigba. I love the Jalen Milroe pick. I think they're the kind of team they could be up and down. Could see them at 5-8, and then they put Milroe in, and he goes on a little run, and they finish 8-9, and it's like next year's the year. So down on them a little bit overall for this year, but I think the program's in a good spot with Mike McDonald. Panthers at 13. I wish they addressed defense early instead of the Tet pick from Arizona. I have questions about him. I see the potential as a Mike Evans clone, but I have some questions about his love of football and how he'll translate in the NFL. I have them at 13. Could be juicy. They could have some juice, though. If they get more to that defense and they make a move, they could have juice. And if I had to pick someone to challenge the Bucs in that division, the Bucs underachieve, it is going to be the Carolina Panthers year two with Dave Canales. I have the Falcons at 14, just a disjointed roster. If Penix pops, that changes their whole equation. But they overpaid for James Pierce. I never see it with the Falcons. I don't like Raheem Morris, the head coach. I'm very down on them. Giants at 15, but it kind of shows that the floor of the NFC is improved. I think the Giants will be with their picks in the draft and with just more competency at quarterback. I don't even know when Dart's going to get on the field. They'll just be more competent. They're probably closer to a 6 or 7-win team than 3 or 4 on paper, though that schedule they have might be the toughest I've ever seen. I mean, it's as tough as a schedule. I mean, they could be a 6 or 7-win talent team that ends up with 5 wins just because of the schedule. I mean, it is brutal for them. They're at 15. And 16, without question, is the Saints. It is a long rebuild. I think the Tyler Shuck pick is interesting, but they're probably in it for the long haul with having to get a real quarterback and a big-time one next year. Kellen Moore's got a long rebuild. It's a depleted roster. They're old in a lot of spots. They're not talented in a lot of spots. I don't see the juice of wide receiver or tight end. They had a building block with a offensive line pick in the first round, but it's not a good football team. The Saints, that's a big candidate to be the number one pick next year. They're at 16, my post-draft NFC power rankings. Eagles 1, Lions 2, Commanders 3, Rams 4. Then that line of demarcation, the question mark team, Bucks, Packers 5 and 6, Bears at 7, Vikings 8, Cardinals 9. 49ers 10, Cowboys 11, Seahawks 12, Panthers 13, Falcons 14, Giants 15, Saints 16. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.